United States if it was not for that. So it really is a significant holiday. America's a good country, and very thankful for all those that have served over the years. So thank you all. Wartime faith. I want to focus this morning on verse 23, and it says this, "And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So when Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him." This is a passage that we often read quickly to get to 1 Samuel 17. But I believe that if there's anything that we can leave with today, before we enjoy a wonderful Monday off, in the beginning of summer, we're reminded that we are to be daily engaged in opportunities in the ministry of God's Spirit to bring healing, hope, and harvest to a wounded world. Four things I want to share with us this morning. We look at this passage and we're reminded that we are in spiritual battle every day. Secondly, we need desperately God's empowerment for the battle. Thirdly, our everyday activities can have eternal significance. And fourthly and finally, our present challenges will determine our future battles. First of all, we are in spiritual battle every day. Whether we are aware of it or not, this is the reality that we find ourselves in as we look at every page of Scripture, as we think about what it means to be a follower of Christ in the kingdom of God. The very word kingdom, authority, and power reminds us that we are not just ordinary flesh and bones people living our lives day to day with nothing really happening. If we are part of the kingdom of God, this idea that we are engaged in spiritual battle and warfare is our reality. And it's a reminder as we look at Scripture, as we look at the life of David, this is not just a sociological or political study of one man who rose to power in ancient Israel. This is the story of God's unfolding kingdom going forth in a broken world, trying to bring God glory, heal lives, and carry out God's redemptive plan for humanity. We are not talking necessarily about, if you've seen the movie The Exorcist, of having that happen every day. You're casting out demons, heads are spinning around. If you've not seen it, don't watch it. It's terrifying, and I'm still scarred from watching it as a kid. We're not necessarily just talking about exorcisms. We also aren't talking about trying to see a demon behind every shadow and every scary thing. We don't want to over-spiritualize, and that can be also unhealthy. But we would do well here in the West to be reminded that as we try to live out our calling as followers of Christ, as we try to expand the kingdom of God, as we're part of Jesus' body here on earth, we are engaged in spiritual battle. And as we seek to serve, to grow, to minister to others, that is all part of the battle in which we are engaged in. Even as announcements and prayers were given this morning regarding VBS and thinking about 200 young people, most of which are from our surrounding community, we're not just there to entertain and have fun. We want the seeds of the gospel to be planted in their hearts, that many would come to faith, be future workers for the kingdom of God, come to know Him, that they will want to come to church and bring their unbelieving parents to church. This is no ordinary call that we have on our lives. As we seek to pursue God in this passion for people, we're not just trying to make friends and be nice, although that's important. We want to win people and expand the kingdom of God wherever we are. And that is not what Satan wants. And he will do everything he can to discourage us and impede the agenda that God has for us and our lives. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, not a cute little kitten, a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. This is not written to the unbelieving nations of the world. This is written to followers of Jesus, to the church, to be vigilant, to understand that we are in spiritual battle. We are spiritual beings. We have spiritual influence as we live out our daily lives. It's not just us who are in full-time career ministry. All of us are engaged in battle for the kingdom of God. We would be wise to be reminded of this. As we look at the passage that we just read, we see here this battle playing out very significantly in King Saul's life, involving David and his gift of music. David was no ordinary future king. He would be the one through whom the Messiah, Jesus, would eventually come to be the Savior of the world. And so David would be a target. Satan would not want him and his descendants and this Jesus that would come from his family line to make it into this world and to do what God had intended David and his family and Jesus to be a part of. We see the spiritual battle take place in the Garden of Eden, and it continues on today. Paul reminds us, the church, to put on the full, whole armor of God. How has God been showing you that we are engaged in spiritual battle daily? And when we forget that and we think that we're doing fine and everything is safe, then maybe we aren't really living a frontline kind of faith. Maybe we have forgotten the calling of God as his followers and disciples and kingdom builders, kingdom expanders, as we pursue him and his passion for people. We're reminded of this even in this short passage this morning here in David's life. And so we see here, secondly, as David ministers in a very unglorious way of being a musician, playing his little lyre, his little stringed instrument, we realize, secondly, that we need God's empowerment for the battle. Anyone who comes to genuine saving faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ in their lives is indwelt permanently with the Holy Spirit of God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you once you are his own. And we're so grateful for that, because I know that I don't always live the way that I should as a child of God. And yet his Spirit is permanently in me because I belong to him now, and so with you if you are a child of God who loves and knows Jesus. We call that the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We are now that temple. He dwells within us forever. But there are times where a special empowerment is needed, and it comes when we are in the midst of a special service, a situation, or circumstance. If you are involved in ministry in any way, you know that no matter how prepared, how much training you've had, how much you've studied a passage before you teach it, that without the anointing and power of his Spirit, hearts will not be moved. Lives will not be changed. It is not ever by our might, our talent, our gifts, but it is by his Spirit and Spirit alone. And when we begin to really understand that, we will do anything and everything to be filled with the Spirit. His Spirit will always indwell in us. But to serve him, to be kingdom people, to move God's agenda forward in our lives, our families, our neighborhoods, we need an anointing, we need a filling, we need unction, we need his power in order to serve him. I realize that every time I get up here to preach, no matter how much I think I'm prepared and how much my heart is moved, unless there is a divine empowerment and anointing, you'll leave saying, well, that was okay message. Or God spoke to me through your message, okay, but God really spoke to me. Then I know that God's Spirit is at work. Even a child can come up here and preach, and if God is in it and his power is there, your lives can be changed. It doesn't matter. We're just the instruments. We're the broken vessels. In fact, when the Spirit is upon me, I not only have confidence, but I can even have humor and people laugh, and normally I'm not that funny. Then I know the Spirit is truly at work. David was a fine musician, but without God's Spirit and anointing, it would have been just a nice little concert, maybe a little bit of music therapy, and nothing against that. That's important. But with the empowerment that came from God's Spirit, he was able, through that instrument and skill and music, to drive out a demon that was afflicting the leader of the nation of Israel. That is powerful. That is life-changing. And though he had many fine qualities, we know that God used David because not David was so exceptional, but because God chose to be with him in his presence and power. Paul reminds us, if we live by the Spirit, Galatians 5, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit as we engage in God's kingdom agenda for our world. As we as Trinity Covenant Church desire to live out our vision as we pursue people this coming fall, we're going to make a strong headway into our community. We're planning and preparing for this coming fall. There's a lot of exciting things that will be happening. And as we want to move out of the safety zone of being a comfortable historic church in Manchester, really begin to engage Manchester, I know that the enemy will not like it. And we need desperately to be united and full of God's Spirit and near Jesus so that we could accomplish what he desires for us to do as we move forward outside the walls of our church and into our communities. We need his empowerment. And so whenever you have an opportunity to be filled with this Spirit, to have an anointing, to be empowered, don't ever miss out. Whether it's a service, a study, a small group, an opportunity to get away in your secret place, to commune with God, don't miss that. Those opportunities. That's how we are filled with the Spirit of God. That's how our minds are refocused on our calling and mission. Let us be desperate for that if we are trying to live a frontline kind of faith. And truly, we are not just a luxury cruise liner, but we really are a hospital ship of mercy as we move forward into our culture and community and into a broken world. Thirdly, we see that our everyday ordinary activities can have eternal significance. Our daily lives, our simple actions and words can either be used for edifying ministry in the lives of others, or it can tear down and discourage. It is the simple things of life, not the formal times of church or this hour we have together or a Bible study, but it's the simple, ordinary things of life and work and school and relationships that we can be the aroma of Christ to give people in our world a taste of heaven or a taste of hell. John Comer wrote an article in the Garden City, and he reminds us that the kingdom of God, this cosmic, gargantuan, 24/7 kingdom, cannot be shrunk down to a few people gathered for an hour on Sunday morning. It's far bigger and greater than that. And that's what we see here as David is at work playing his instrument. It's not just a job. It's not just something he's doing. But there is a battle taking place. There's a call upon his life. And the kingdom of God is being expanded through his work that he is called to do. Abraham Kuyper says this, that there is no inch of creation where Christ does not rule, and consequently no dimension of our lives in which he is not present. The lordship of Jesus Christ is not just over our hour of worship on Sunday, but all of our life. This past week, my daughter was late trying to make the school bus in the morning. The bus was coming up the hill. Both Kathy and I were like, honey, hurry up. You're going to miss the bus. We're not going to drive you again. And we were getting anxious. I was getting angry. Get on that bus. And she froze, didn't want to get on that bus. She missed the bus. I had to drive her again. I was fuming mad. I was saying things in my mind that were not becoming of a pastor. It ruined my entire day. I was so angry, so disappointed in my daughter. And I realized, what's the big deal? But it's the small, ordinary things of daily life that impact us for better or for worse. Someone was in my office earlier this past week, pouring out their life and listening and having an informal counseling session. And in the midst of closing out and praying, I just reached out my hand upon his shoulder, began to pray and just sense the Spirit of God over this person working in his life. It was such a moving moment for me as well, as I could really sense God touching him, encouraging him, strengthening him. Nothing of myself to take credit for, but God's Spirit being shared. And that simple touch on the shoulder can communicate so much for a person who is struggling alone and afraid. It is these ordinary things, a smile, a handshake, a text, a call, a visit, that impacts our lives. And we see it here in the life of David. There are many who are suffering, and only the ministry of the gospel can truly set them free. It is not our niceness, it is not just our kindness, but it is the gospel. And we as the church are called to be the agents of healing through the ministry of the gospel, empowered by the Spirit of God. There are people hurting all over, so many problems. And we are reminded even in this morning's passage that even a simple, ordinary thing of playing an instrument in young David's life is being used by God so powerfully to expand his kingdom. David was skillful in playing the lyre. God can use our ordinary talents, our skills, our passions, our hobbies, our gifts for his work. Playing the harp, this lyre was maybe an ordinary thing, but in the hands of God, in the servant of God, it became a powerful weapon to wage war against the evil spirit. Look up the word spiritual in the Old Testament, and you will not find it. For the Jewish Hebrew worldview is all of life is spiritual. And we are so good at, this is my work life, this is my family life, this is my spiritual life. Unless we begin to understand a holistic gospel that impacts all areas of our life, we will not understand what it really means to be a follower of Christ in its fullness. Mark Comer says, I think if you had asked Jesus about his spiritual life, he would have looked at you very confused. My guess is he would have asked, what do you mean by my spiritual life? All of my life is spiritual. And so Paul reminds us, so whether you eat, amen, or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's not just the pastors, the missionaries, the full-time Christian workers that have the privilege of being on the front line, but I believe in the priesthood of all believers. You all have been called to serve God and advance his kingdom. Fourthly, and finally, our present challenges will determine our future battles. I believe it is the struggles and challenges that you have right now in your life presently that the arena of your future battles are won or lost today. You see in the very next chapter that we'll look at next Sunday, 1 Samuel 17, David now will face Goliath. That story that we have butchered and interpreted in all sorts of crazy ways to fit corporate model, business model, relationship model, all that. We'll try to break through all that and really understand the purpose and intent of 1 Samuel 17 next Sunday. But I believe that David was already fighting and winning the battle against Goliath here in our passage in 1 Samuel 16. As he learned to understand the kingdom of God and the dynamics involved in being a servant of God and empowered by God's Spirit and battling the enemy even in the ordinary place of work that he was at. Our present challenges and situations determine the arena in which our future battles are won or lost. Not when we get there in the future. Today counts. Rick Warren says that God uses little things to test your integrity. We think it's the big things in life that create a leader, but no, the big crises in life reveal leadership. But leadership is not built in the big things of life. It's built in the small things. That's where integrity shows up. In the stuff that nobody sees. In the stuff behind the scenes. And in the small, unseen, unspectacular choices of life where you do the right thing even though nobody's ever going to see it. We all look at our present lives and have a sense of frustration and maybe even anger why things aren't different. And we all long for some ideal future that when I graduate and get there into the bigger arena of my life and work and family and relationship, then I'll really begin to live for God and His glory. But for now, I'll just squeak by and survive. God was training David as a young man to fight his future battles presently in his life. It would be the same familiarity with God's Spirit when he played a lyre for King Saul that he would use to fight against Goliath and many battles, both won and lost, as we know the life of David going well into his future to the end of his life. I believe there are crucial lessons that God desires for us to learn today. And until we learn them, why would God open up greater opportunities and responsibilities to you and to me? There are many times where Kathy and I are heading back from church or an early morning and first of all wondering, wow, how do we end up at Trinity? This is just amazing, and this is darn hard. We didn't know it was going to be this challenging. You stand up here while everything's being live streamed and preach and minister and my goodness, it's not an easy calling, but it is a wonderful one. And over we look back and we say, if we did not struggle in our earlier years of ministry, when I just had 8 people gathered around a coffee table as we're starting a church in Chicago, if I did not learn to give all my heart in sharing a message to 8 people when we were first getting started, with all my heart breaking bread, passing the cup in communion with all my heart, if I did not learn how to do that and give my best and learn the lessons early on, both of us talk and reflect that we would never have been ready to embrace the call that God had for us here at Trinity Covenant Church. This is too hard. Without that training, the experiences, the times we messed up and got humbled seriously, we would not be ready to do what we've been called to do today. And I hope we're doing an okay job as we're trying our best here at Trinity. We all want to live in the future. We all imagine what life would be if only this or that could happen to my life. But God always looks at our today, what we are presently doing. And he's asking us to serve him and his kingdom today, now, faithfully anointed by the Spirit of God, because that will determine the arena and your future battles, whether they are won or lost in the future, by living it out faithfully today. Champions do not become champions, Alan Armstrong writes, when they win the event, but in the hours, weeks, months, years they spend preparing for it. The victorious performance itself is merely the demonstration of their championship character. It was Jesus in trying to help us understand what it is to serve the kingdom of God, remind us in the parable of the talents. He said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." What lessons do we need to learn that God is trying to teach our thick skulls over the years and decades, that we are so stubborn and rebellious and set in our ways that we refuse to learn? When we refuse to learn as God's child, those lessons come back to haunt us over again and again and again until we learn it. Because then we begin to grow through it, and then he sees that we're ready for our next assignment. What things do we need to learn as a wonderful church as we are? If we really want to be a church that becomes a movement and begins to serve the town of Manchester and beyond, where do we need to learn to grow presently in our unity, in our spirituality, in our prayer, in our study of God's word, in our growth in generosity and giving? What do we need to learn and grow in today if we want to see God work powerfully in us in the future? God uses the present situation and callings of our lives to test us, to develop us, to grow us, because it is in the present, ordinary things of today, that the arena of the future battles are won or lost. David was called to minister healing from a young age, who would become his most bitter adversary, enemy, and would seek to destroy him completely. This spiritual battle would play out over the centuries as a descendant of David, Jesus Christ, would literally die for his enemies, us, so that we could be eternally healed. Jesus would be tormented unto death so that we could be set free from the power and torment of sin, the enemy, the world, Satan, and death. You bet David had a call on his life. And we who are children of God by the grace of God in Jesus Christ are connected to David's story. We are part of the body of Christ in the kingdom of God. And if that is true, then we are battling in the spiritual realms every time we gather, every time we worship, every time you work, every time you connect with your spouse, your friends, your children, your grandchildren. We are trying to move the kingdom of God forward. Let us do it with humility and dependence upon his Spirit to fill us, because we are in spiritual battle every day. We need desperately God's empowerment for that battle. Everyday our activities, the ordinary things of life, can have eternal spiritual significance. Even playing an instrument for work, as David would learn, would be the arena by which his future battles would be won or lost. Four things and we'll end. How has God been showing you that we are living in a daily spiritual battle? Secondly, what happens when you fight the battle that we have been called already without God's empowerment? I think a lot of us, including myself, know what that is like. Thirdly, what ways might God be training you today for your future battles? And fourthly and finally, where might God be calling you to bring his healing touch? This is our calling, not just the pastors and missionaries and full-time Christian workers that have been called, but all of us who are God's children and his workers have been called to advance his kingdom by his way, his timing, and his power. And I believe as we aggressively envision moving forward with this new vision to no longer play just a safe church within the four walls here at Trinity Covenant, but really begin to understand what it means to pursue God and his passion for people, I guarantee you we will see a spiritual battle come to our doors. Are we ready? Will we be dependent? Will we learn the lessons that we need to today as individuals, families, and as a church community, that God would continue to move us and grow us into the arena of our future ministries and battles for the kingdom of God and his glory. These are a few things that we can learn from 1 Samuel 16. As we prepare to look at 1 Samuel 17, let us not neglect the powerful lessons and truths that we could find in young David's life as he points forward to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that as we all are getting older by the day, by the month, and by the year, we are so thankful for the ways in which you have woven the story of our lives. And thank you that you remind us, Father, especially here in the West, when we often forget that we are engaged in spiritual battle, that this is not just for leaders and pastors and missionaries, but all who call on the name of Christ. Awaken us to the realities of the one who would love to steal, kill, and destroy. And help us, Heavenly Father, as we hunger for your empowerment and filling as we draw near to Jesus. Thank you that you remind us whatever we do for a living, whatever we are studying, as we raise young children, help babysit grandchildren, help us to do it all for the glory of God. Thank you that you watch and know and care. And I pray that as we learn to be faithful and humble and passionate in our callings today, that you are preparing us to win our future battles in that arena that is yet to come. Thank you for Jesus, who would ultimately lose his life on a Roman cross, so that we could experience your life and healing forever. And thank you for using people like David and people like us. And so, Lord, even as we begin summer together, we ask for your protection over all our families and friends as we travel, as we vacation, as we are at home, as we're working, as we envision a very exciting and dynamic fall this September. We pray for your protection and power as we seek to be part of your kingdom advancement here in Manchester and beyond, for your glory's sake. Amen.